the theme scripture is. You know, this whole breakout session is called Our Call Forward. It's all about what we as the church need to do in order to help our whole church and movement grow and move forward. And so holiness is a big part of that, amen? Being different from the world is a big part of what's going to bring our church to the next level. And I think as men, we need to be the leaders, the people going after that the hardest, the most, like just in the greatest ways. We have to be holy and different. But in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. You know, there's a pattern that the world follows.
Yeah.
There's a way of life that the men of this world, almost everyone unanimously lives that way. And it's for self, for glory, for your own kind of ambitions and honor and kind of whatever you want to do in the moment. That's the pattern of this world. But as men of God, we cannot and shall not and will not conform to that pattern.
Let's go, Nick.
We've got to be holy. You know, 1 Peter 1, 9-10 says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession." Guys, you are holy.
Yeah.
You are a people that are set apart from the world. God has made you His people. God has made you His special possession. We can't live like the men of the world because we are not of the men of the world. Amen?
Come on.
You know, our first point here today is your holy self. Your holy self. You know, why don't we turn our Bibles to Hebrews 10? With me right now?
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wrestling right now. Just take that.
Come on.
You know, as I was looking at the scriptures while I was studying out what I was going to be teaching for this class here, I discovered something that's pretty simple, and yet it's very profound to me, and I want to share it with you. You know, it's something that has begun to even change this past week, and kind of a couple weeks that I've been thinking about this, like the way I've been thinking about my life as a Christian and my relationship with the world. And it's very, very simple, but it's awesome. And so in Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Let me read that again. "By that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." You know, this is the secret right here, right? We talk about we have to be holy. Even God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." The secret is, we are already holy.
Mm.
Let that sink in a second. Like, you already are holy. And that, for me, that, you know, it shook me up a little bit, because I think I can glaze over that. And I'm going to explain even why that's such a big deal to me. But you already are not of the world by being a Christian. You are already not like everyone else, because your soul has been washed and renewed in the blood of Christ. You're already different from the world. You know, holiness is our default setting as Christians. That's who we should be as a default. We need to be transformed, we need to be set apart, but it's not a call to be someone that we're not. It's a call to be our holy self. It's a call to be your holy self. Let me make this clear here. So imagine we're all, or a couple of you guys, you know, you're on a date with some sisters, amen?
All right.
You know, you guys have a double date, having some fun, as we should be, you know, as brothers in the campus ministry. And having a good time, you know, we're over someone's apartment, something, doing a little game, just encouraging the sisters with their whole hearts. And then all of a sudden, you see in the corner, on the ceiling, on the wall, a spider. And the girls start freaking out. You know, the girls, oh, like, there's a spider. Like, yeah, they get scared by it. And you know, all eyes look to you. It's a killer, right? I'm not the one. Like, even we can be like, I don't like spiders. I don't want to. But you see that spider, and as you grab your shoe, as you grab a magazine, as you grab something to go and kill it, you give yourself a little pep talk.
Yeah.
You know what? You can do this, man. Be a man. You know, be a man. Do this thing. You know, and we kind of have to pump ourselves up a little bit to kill that spider. You know, look manly in front of the sisters, you know. We'll make sure that we're leading the relationship, but now, when you say be a man, is it because you are not a man?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Does like you do you all of a sudden like instill like are you some asexual like no chromosomes like you're some being without some sexual identity and you just say be a man like and then like oh give up no you are a man. But you have to live up to that expectation.
Come on.
Right? You have to be what you are.
Come on.
Wow.
What else?
So when you say, be holy, it's not like you're being someone that you're not. No, it's
right.
Being holy, which is what you are.
Come on, Nick.
You're trying to kill that spider. If there's a situation where you need to be holy, you got to go and do it. You know, by default, when we were washed in the blood of Jesus, we are holy.
Come on.
That's who we need to be. That's how Jesus made us. You know, we can't live like the way that men of the world live because we are not those men. We are not women. We are not. So when you say be a man, it's not like you're talking to yourself as a girl. You say, I gotta fulfill my identity right now. I have to be
right.
My holy self. Mm. Amen?
Amen?
Look in Hebrews. Oh, I did forget to do that. Not bad. Well, Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 14,
let's go, Nick.
It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Wow.
Without holiness, no
wow.
one will see the Lord.
Wow.
That's challenging right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think about, what do I need to be in order to get to heaven? You have to be holy. You have to live up to that expectation that God has set for you. You have to live up to your
yeah.
holy self. Now, how many of you like to be different? Okay. You liars, but okay. Yeah. How many of you guys like to really stand out from the crowd for something that's like really challenging to stand out? Alright, you know. Alright, you know, you guys are better than me. But how many of you want to be different in the way, like, even in your lifestyle? How many of you want to get rid of Netflix, video games?
Oh, no.
Have fun, getting close to girls. Just going after the next fun and exciting thing. How many of us think that that's kind of the way that we like to live? Like, oh, the fun stuff, Netflix, that. Alright, you guys, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here. Alright.
We
want
to watch Netflix.
We want to watch Netflix. You know, I think, I know for myself, I struggle to stand out at times. I struggle to want to be different. And I know that you guys do too. You know, and unless you're like somebody, like nothing matters to you. And you got like, amen. You got a better character than I do. But I struggle to be different and be set apart because everyone else is doing these things. Everyone else is living this way. No one is talking about the things that Christians are talking about. No one's talking about changing the world like Jesus wants us to change the world. No one is even taking the steps in their life to get rid of sin. No one's taking steps in their life, I mean, not to have sex with girls, to not get
right.
drunk, to not party, not, no one's
right.
doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Someone asks you, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I got plans. We don't even want to say that we're going to a Devo on a Friday night. You guys are going out, I can't go to that party. I'm not really into that, you know?
Yeah.
Don't say why. Don't say why.
Yeah.
You might remove yourself a little bit, but you don't say why. You know, I think about, I lead a Bible discussion at Boston College. And BC is a Catholic, you know, we got Christian Lewis right here, one of our BC students, but it's this Catholic school, Catholic college, and honestly, it's like sheeple. Like, it's just, everyone is exactly the same.
Huh.
Everyone's got their Sperry's on,
right.
their chinos,
right.
Patagonia
right.
over their button-down, like, Vineyard Vines shirt, their Vineyard Vines hat, everyone's got their North Face jackets and bags. Every single person. Like, I was in a Bible study the other day, and out the window, I see these three girls walk by, and they all have the exact same white vest on and maroon shirt underneath. I was like, how? Like, what? Does this not bother anyone? They're wearing the exact same clothes. Like, it's like ultra-conforming. Some people come in, they might look different, but by their senior, like, most seniors I talk to, especially, are... you can tell they're a senior because they all dress the same.
Wow.
They're all exactly alike. We just moved in this freshman girl named Leanna to BC. And I remember moving her in, and I hadn't met her before. She's from Atlanta, and she gets in, and one, she's black. And that is already you're standing out of BC for being that, all right? She's got pink hair.
Okay.
She's got ripped jeans. She's got a band tee on. She's got kind of these black fingerless gloves. You know, and she kind of got that punk rock vibe going on a little bit. And I was like, dude, she is not going to fit in at DC. She is different on so many levels. And like, she's not going to conform to the pattern of DC. You know? She's got like her little stocking cap on. Like, it's like, I'm like, oh man, this is radically different than anything you see. You know?
Come on.
I'll go even sharing with Christian or this another brother, Jonathan, you know. He left. Where'd he go? No, even, you know, with some brothers, you know, some of my black brothers over here, and then, you know, they'll look at some, they'll see some,
come on.
They'll see some other black guys, they just nod, because they know, they're like, there's only a few of us, you know, like, we gotta stick together, they know everyone, you know, like, it's just, it stands out at BC, and it kind of stinks, you know, I'm like, and I love our Bible talk, because we got a very diverse Bible talk at BC, we really represent more than just white people at BC.
Come on.
But you know, in a world of BC, Vineyard Vines, North Face people, we need to be the Leannas. You know, we need to be the people that just stick out like a sore thumb in the world. You know, here's what we gotta look like. If there was a room filled with Ryan Gosling, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Idris Elba, Don Cheadle, Denzel Washington, Will Smith, you know, like the elite, the top people, you know? Do you know who we would be in that room? That's holy instead of part people.
Character.
We would be Elmo, alright?
Yeah.
We wouldn't even be a person. We would be Elmo. Don't forget, like, this elite, Hollywood elite. We gotta be someone so different, it does not conform at all to the pattern of this world.
Come on, Nick.
We're talking about being set apart and different. Elmo's in a room full of Brad Pitts, amen? We need to be our holy selves. But let me ask you something. How much do you think the world creeps into the church versus Jesus leaks out from us into the world? Who do you think has a better influence on us as men?
The world against the world.
Yeah, right, because, yeah. I think, yeah, we can all, probably most of us agree that the world has a big influence on us. If I took a poll of this room, and I took a similar sized room of non-Christians, asking what their ambitions were, their interests, future plans, daily routines, topic of conversations with friends, what you do in your free time. And I don't think it'd be very, very different responses between this room and a room full of non-Christians. And do you know how I know that? Well, you know, I think some of you may have spent more time picking out the clothes to wear at the retreat than in your Bible on Friday morning. I think some of you are thinking more about the exam that you have coming up this week and how you're losing time studying for it than thinking about what God's going to teach you this weekend. I think about when asked what your plans were for this weekend, some of you were, instead of talking about how it's going to be this amazing weekend full of faith with your whole family from all over New England and New York and New Jersey, all in the Northeast, worshiping God together and learning about God, it was, oh, I have this like, you know, it's this like church thing I'm going to. Or you just said you're going out of town. You know, some of you care more about video game achievements than achieving things for God. Some of you guys want to be the master of 2K and FIFA so you can beat your friends than mastering the Word of God and trying to teach it to other people. You know, some of you want to impress people and even your ministers and the people in your ministry more than you want to impress God. And that's the pattern of this world. That's what... If we look like that, how are we set apart? How do we look different than the men of this world? Now, this cannot be who we are. We need to live for Christ. We said, what did we say when we were baptized?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Let's say that again. Jesus is Lord, right? Yes. That's what that means, that yes. Our lives, our self was done away with. And that Jesus lives, and we have this new holy self that God has made us into. We need to be our holy selves. You know, Cash is going to come up and tell us how to be transformed. Even give us some practicals on how to even transform the way that we... How can we be holy as men in today's world?
Right.
But we need to start owning and loving and living out this self that we are by default as Christians. We need to strive and embrace being Elmos in a room full of Brad Pitts. You know, I hope that... You know, you have to understand that you are different because of Jesus. And instead of being ashamed of that, instead of shrinking back, and not living out and still doing everything else that the world does except you maybe go to church a couple more times a week. You know, we have to be different in every way. Set apart, right? We gotta be our holy selves. Anyway, Cash is gonna come up.
Well, I appreciate so much the things that Nick shared with us. Again, I'll introduce myself. I'm Cash McCarg, and it's really awesome just to be here with you guys. I love being around men who want to be holy. That is in itself, the fact that you're in this room says something, right? And I think most of us know that holiness is not an option. We know that. I mean, we just read the passage, right? Without holiness, what? We will not see God. We know that it's not an option, and yet what I think the problem is that we find ways to rationalize living an unholy life at times. And what do we do, right? And we're going to get more into this, but we talk about this idea, you know, we talk about sin, and we rationalize that, well, you know, it could be worse. I could be doing worse things. At least I'm not watching rated R movies. Stay off my back, you know? Stay off my back. Don't talk to me about the fact that I've spent all night long watching Netflix. It's funny, Netflix has been talked about a lot at this retreat. Because people binge watch so much of this stuff that they don't actually live for Jesus during the daylight hours.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to some friends of mine over lunch today about this idea I've been thinking about called Eminem. Not Eminem the rapper, but M&M. Who likes M&Ms? Yeah, a lot of people like that. I wish I had some M&Ms like throw out to you guys. That would have been really happy. But you know, one of the things I think that men don't think enough about is ministry and mission field.
Come on.
You know, being holy means that we think about these things.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be different than the world, your focus over the next several years of your college time shouldn't just be on what kind of career you're going to have. It should be focused on what your plans are going to be for the kingdom and for God when college is over.
Yeah.
That's the way the holy men of the past used to think. Right? So I'm going to talk about some practicals that really break this down. I love this passage we read in Romans 12, right? I'm going to read it again. I'm going to have some volunteers read as well. Some other passages here. But in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So in other words, it's saying, if you care about God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Try not to conform. If you can get around to it, try to change some things. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. First question is, how do we become transformed? Well, I think we've got to answer who does the transforming question. The Bible doesn't teach we transform ourselves. You can't transform yourself. It just doesn't work that way. We are transformed by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, in order to really understand transformation and holiness, we got to realize that we don't find the strength within ourselves. This is not an arm wrestling match with God that we're in for holiness. This is about finding strength in God and about being created holy because you are holy. My point is called Holiness for Dummies.
All
right. You ever read those books or see those books? Right? Here's the thing about holiness. If you want God to transform you, it's pretty simple. This is not complicated at all. There's seven things here. Number one is you got to unplug. You want to be made holy by God, you got to unplug. What do I mean by that? You know, it's funny. Every now and then, I used to have a lot of my quiet times on my iPad. And recently, I've stopped because what happens when you have your quiet times on your iPad is you get these little things that drop down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got a new email, you know? Ooh, somebody sent me a message on Facebook. Oh, I get my iMessages on my iPad. There's so many distractions.
Right.
Right? Even that noise right now that's very distracting.
Yes.
Right? I wish somebody would just unplug that tool right now. But you know, if you don't unplug from the world, how can you ever engage God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
unplug from all the distractions in your life. Take a moment right now and just write down the top three distractions in your life. I tell you what mine are. Mine is sports. I love NFL football. I love Netflix. Okay? And I love my family. Now, none of these things in and of themselves are evil. But I've got to unplug from these things long enough, even my beautiful wife and children, long enough to get filled up by God. You know, every morning, I wake up and I unplug. Some of us can't unplug because we're too busy. Right? I love what Matt said. We worship the triangles, the shining bright triangles in our life. You got to unplug from all that stuff. Right? There's a passage here. I need somebody to read 1 Peter 4, verse 7. And you got to read this passage like it matters, okay? I need a volunteer. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, right here, right in the back. Listen to what this passage says.
The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray.
Okay. Listen to what he says. He says, the end of all things is near. Be alert and sober-minded. So what? So you can pray. You know, when you're not unplugged, you can't pray. When you're concerned about what you've got going on later in the day, you can't pray. You've got to unplug for a moment. That's practical number one. Practical number two, this is deep right here. Repent. Repent. Galatians chapter 5. I need somebody to read verse 19 through 21. A new reader. Somebody read this right here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Go for it.
It says, the acts of the flesh are oblivious, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery.
Through 21.
Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like, I warn you, as I did before, that who love like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right? So Paul starts off this passage and he says what? The acts of the sinful nature are
obvious.
Right? What are the people in Galatia probably doing? They're probably rationalizing their sin.
Right.
And so Paul feels this need to tell these saved Christians that if you live in sin, you're going to go to hell. Think about that the next time you think about clicking. The next time you think about clicking on that pornography website. The next time you think about falling into whatever sin that you're tempted by, think about what Paul is telling Christians. Sometimes we think this passage only applies when we're studying the Bible with somebody to help them become a Christian. Paul's warning these guys, like, if you don't stop living like this, you're not going to make it. And the plan is very simple. We just got to repent. You know, I love God's plan of repentance. He says, just cut it off, turn away from it, and turn toward God. Repentance is such a simple thing. It's not easy, but it's simplistic. Whatever you got going on in your life, if you want to be made holy, you got to cut sin out of your life. We were talking about this over lunch today as well. The idea, what did Jesus really mean when he said, cut off your hand, gouge out your eye? We started cutting off and eye gouging ministry. You know, but you got to be willing to cut off whatever's going on in your life.
Yeah.
And don't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Do it today. Yeah. Do it now. Make the decision before you leave the room. Grab the brother sitting next to you and say, we got to talk right when this is over. I got stuff going on in my life. I just need to repent and get over it. That's practical number two. Practical number three. You got to read your Bible. Mm-hmm. You want God to transform you? You got to let God talk to you every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I love this passage. I'm going to read this one. Psalm 119. Starting in verse 9. He says, how can a young person or a young man stay pure? That's the magic question right there. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Do you enjoy the Bible as much as you do great riches? Is reading your Bible, getting into the Word of God, studying it deeply, understanding what God's will for your life is that more exciting than the paycheck you're going to make? Is that more exciting than the career you're going to have one day? The holy person thinks this way. This is the way that we ought to think. If these things really matter most to you, God will transform you. God will make you into the person that you want to be. But you got to study your Bible. I'm amazed. You know, it's funny. When you talk to people who are really struggling, those are the first two questions I ask. Are you reading your Bible and are you praying? When people are struggling with relationships and you know, in the world, when they're attracted to a sister or a girl who's not a disciple, my question is, have you been reading your Bible and praying? Has God led you to this girl? Most people aren't going to say yes to that. Or when they say, man, I'm really struggling in my purity. I've been masturbating every day. I bet you haven't been reading your Bible and praying every day. No person in their right mind that's really connected to God in that way is going to want to do those things.
Right. Yeah.
We've got to be great at reading our Bibles. I think, number four, we just got to pray more.
Yeah.
You know, praying is something I think it's sad the sisters are more known for than the men are. We've got to lead the way in prayer. Right? I love this passage, and it was referred to earlier, right? When talking about the man who says, please help me overcome my unbelief.
Right?
He can't get the demon to come out of his son. The apostles are trying to get the demon driven out of his son. Jesus comes on the scene, and he just does it. And the apostles are coming to Jesus afterwards and said, how come we weren't able to do that? And Jesus calls them out. He says, because these ones only come out by prayer. He's calling out his own disciples. He's like, you guys got to pray more. You got to pray more. You got to be on your knees every day begging God to make you a holy man. Number five, you got to fast.
Yeah.
You got to fast. You know, fasting is one of those things. It's funny. Anytime I talk to people about fasting, I feel these same things. There's almost this lull that comes immediately afterwards. Like, hey, let's fast together. Like, well, I got to figure out a good day that would work because I don't really have meal plans. You know? Oh, I can't do that day because I you know, they're going to be serving an amazing lunch that day. You know? And we try to take the sacrifice out of fasting. You know, our Lord fasted for 40 days. Jesus was not above relying on God in this way. Fasting and prayer is how we become close to God. This is how we become holy. There's no way you're going to find yourself being unholy when you're fasting and pouring out your life to God. And every time that mealtime comes, you get hungry and you go, you know what? This is my reminder. I need to get on my knees. I need to go pray right now. I need to go spend time with God. There's no way that man falls back into sin or falls back into the world. Right? Number six, you got to listen. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves, in verse 42, when describing the church, immediately after 3,000 people were baptized, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, it's funny. What was it the church was known for? Well, a lot of them were illiterate. They couldn't read. And even if they could read, most of them couldn't afford to have scriptures to read. So what did they do? They wanted to get with the apostles. They wanted to hear the word preached. You know, sometimes we got to turn off the distractions, like we talked about earlier, unplug, and we got to turn on preaching. Now, this goes for being at church and hearing the word of God preach to you, being at retreats like this, but even on your own. I love the fact you can find sermons online. You can find great teaching online. You can go to the Boston website. You can go to your own church's website. There are so many great sermons to listen to. But we got to be filled up with this stuff. I don't know about you, I get inspired by preaching. I walk out of a good lesson, I'm like, dang, I want to just conquer the world right now. You ever feel like that? So why not get that every day? You know, one of the things I tell you is that When you're walking around campus, you got your headphones on, and you're listening to music, and you're just kind of zoned out, and you're doing your own thing, you're not making an impact on anybody around you. You're ignoring all the people walking past you. So I would encourage you, put those headphones on before you go out, listen to a sermon, and then take them off. And see what God does with your life. We got to plug in, we got to listen to the word of God. And the seventh thing, which I want to talk a little bit more about, in Matthew 28, in verse 18 through 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is a holy act. You know how I know? Because you will not find a person in the world walking around sharing their faith with people.
Right.
If we're being set apart, right? If God has set us apart, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what has He set us apart for? What's the purpose of being set apart?
Well, yeah.
Why weren't you baptized and immediately just sort of taken up to heaven? Why did God leave you on earth? And He says, "I've set you apart for an incredible work." The seventh thing is you got to go. You got to be willing to go every day. Right? Evangelism, sharing the gospel, teaching people how to become a disciple, baptizing, teaching to obey. This is not the minister or the pastor or the evangelist's job. This is every disciple's job. If you really want to be made holy, do the things that Jesus did. How did Jesus spend His days? Man, He was always on the mission field. I started out this talk by talking about Eminem, right? When you graduate college or even right now, you ought to be thinking about ministry, right? Or mission field. And those could be the same thing. But what you should really be thinking about is, I want to go and give myself to something that doesn't currently exist. I want to go. You can't just say, "Man, I just want to hang out in this really cool ministry and blend in and be happy." That's not what the holy people of the past did. They did courageous things. They were strong and they were courageous. They wanted to build something.
Yeah.
One of the things that is missing in the holy men of our church is people who are willing to step out on faith and say, "I want to do something great. I want to do something different. I want to be set apart for God."
Yeah.
What is God setting your life apart for? Ask yourself that question. What has God set you up apart for? What ministry will you get a chance to help build that doesn't currently exist? I loved hearing the good news sharing. I think it might have been Syracuse or one of the churches in New York. Maybe it was Albany. But they said, "Man, their goal has been to plan a new Bible talk every year."
Whoa.
What an incredible goal! What about your school? Is there a Bible talk on your school right now? If there's not, why? God has put you there. He has made you holy. He set you apart for that mission field. You got to start something. You're the campus minister there right now. That's what that means.
Yes.
God has set you apart. Become the man that God has put you in the place of. He's put you there, just like Nick was talking about. Become your holy self. Be the person that God has already made you. Right? I love his analogy too about being a man. The idea that we wouldn't be holy after we've been washed by the blood of Jesus makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. We are meant to be different than the world. So let's make sure we do these things, right? Let's make sure we go. Let's go do the work that God has called and set for us. Let's listen to the Bible. Let's listen to sermons. Let's listen to sermons be preached in our hearts. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's dig into our Bibles more than we ever have before.
Yeah.
Let's repent of the stinking sin that's going on in our life.
Yeah.
And let's unplug from all the worldly stuff going on in our life. You know, I think one of the things we can fast from is just entertainment.
Yeah.
Do a one-month entertainment fast. You think I can't go without food for a month? How about we just start an entertainment? I'm gonna fast from any entertainment so I can spend more time with God and with other people. Amen? We want to open up the last few minutes here for just some Q&A. And Nick's going to come back up here and join me. But we just like to hear sort of questions. We're going to kind of turn this into the workshop portion of this. But just things, questions you got on your hearts, and we won't be the only people who answer these questions. There might be other people in the room who have great answers. But what are some questions you guys have got about being holy, and what it means, and what you need help in?
I know I tend to struggle a lot at my job. The example that comes to the heart is just like, yeah, you know, I'm going to a church thing. And it's like we're not really going into detail about it. What's kind of the line between? Because I don't want to overdo it and like just put on a show about Christianity, but at the same time, like I don't want to undersell it. So I don't know how to act in that scenario. Yeah.
Why are we worried about the line? That would be my question. Are you a boss? Are you a manager? So you're not going to get in trouble, right? I think there's not a line. I mean, what harm is there in just saying, man, I'm a Christian. I don't do that stuff, right? Sometimes it's just being courageous and just, I know the feeling. I wasn't always a minister. I worked a sales job. It was super scary stuff. But, you know, everybody on my job knew I was a Christian. I shared my faith with them. I talked to them about my faith. I talked to them about dates. I was like, yeah, but it was so funny. People used to say, man, you go on dates with like different girls every weekend? and they would be like, man, and they automatically assume I'm hooking up.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I'm like, I actually haven't touched one of them in that way. That's mind blowing to them. So I think, I don't know if that kind of answers your question, but.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the line. Just share who you are. Be honest. Be real about who you are. To us.
Why do we need to or should fast, and what does it do for us?
Okay. You want to take this? Okay. Well, fasting, you know, when you read about fasting in the Bible, it's a great Bible study, actually. So fasting was a practice. It wasn't, believe it or not, fasting's not just about sacrifice. Fasting is about putting your attention on God and trusting in God only, right? So the call of fasting to not eat and even not drink in a given day, the idea is that it puts your attention back on God. And so you're going to pray more. You're going to meditate more on what God is trying to teach you. You're going to be more attentive. You might feel a little bit more irritable, which is going to help you work on self-control, right? But fasting is not just about making a sacrifice as much as it is about putting your attention back on God. That's my short answer, but you should study out the scriptures and talk about it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, even it was like early Christians, it was like a practice. Wednesdays and Fridays, they would fast. It was just straight up. They were like, this is what we do. Wednesdays and Fridays, we fast. And like, it was just part of their even daily routine, or like their weekly routine on how they worship God in their daily life. It was like, we're going to devote ourselves in these days to God instead of kind of just giving into our own desires here. And so I think it's a devotion thing, too. But.
Yeah.
So, you do the whole day, or just all rounds?
It's kind of what you decide.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's a wrong amount of time to do it, you know. I think if you want to fast for a whole day or 30 days or 40 days.
Decide on it and then stick to it. I think that's, like, don't cheat on yourself because that's cheating.
Yeah, don't change your mind when you get hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry, I change my fast. Right. Great question. Who else? I wouldn't probably brush that with a broad brush stroke. I think that's going to be different for everybody. I think there is wisdom in, you know, getting your degree. You know, I think that there's a huge aspect of that. But I wouldn't want to sit here and tell you that you shouldn't do it that way.
Yeah, even like no matter where you are, you want that to be your mission field. And so even like giving yourself holy right now to wherever you're at, and then when you're making decisions for your future, thinking about mission as like your first priority. Like, I want to go to grad school, but also where's a place that I can go and serve as a grad, like in grad school, or where can I get trained, where can I learn, where can I go and help make disciples and obey Jesus, and then, or my job, same thing, I can move somewhere. Even all right, when we're graduating people out of the downtown Boston campus ministry, we have this amazing kind of thriving singles ministry right in downtown in the same region. It's about 100 singles, a lot of them are young, straight out of college, and it's actually a really cool, fun place to be. And so a lot of our singles are like, even campus students are like, all right, I want to go into singles ministry. I'm getting out of campus. And we're even trying to encourage people to go to other ministries of Boston besides just the downtown singles ministry, because there's needs. And we have even some of the region leaders come and say, when you graduate, think about coming to the Northwest region. When you graduate, Metro. Think about coming to Metro. Like thinking about even when you graduate, wherever you are, going to a place that yet doesn't have something great and trying to build that. So.
That's really the point I was making, what he just said. He said, don't just, I think the holy thing to do is to think outside the box a little bit, not just go somewhere where you're going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But to get out of the box and say, man, I want to go serve and see what God will do. Okay? So I think work that out maybe with people in your life that you can talk to, get advice about those things. But do something courageous. Don't set it.
Yeah.
Others?
There's two definitions of missionary and field.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your definition of it, so I'm just curious about that.
I think it's the same answer, really.
Yeah.
I think what we just talked about. I think you are a missionary. Right? You're a disciple. You're already a missionary, right? But what I meant by that is that don't just settle in wherever you're at for the rest of your life if that's comfortable for you. Do something courageous that's going to push you, right? I love the story about Caleb. You guys remember the story about Caleb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caleb, when he was 80 years old, they were conquering the promised land, and he tells Joshua, you got to fulfill the promise that was made to me by Moses. I'm 80, but I'm just as vigorous as I was when I was 40. Send me into the hill country, which was the most difficult place of all the land they were trying to conquer. Right? There was just this sense of he wanted to do something that was courageous for God. But I'm not trying to tell you leave your current situation necessarily. Please don't take that away from this. That wasn't what I was saying. But you want to think missionary. I want to make a difference.
Think about the kingdom and then however you can build it.
Yeah. Anybody else? Go ahead.
I think with me personally, oftentimes when I'm either like doing a lot of these things or just like expending myself a lot, and I can do all of these things for God and just have him on my mind constantly, but like at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm tired. I just need some rest. I need this. I need to sleep. I need, like, how do you go about changing either that mindset or that character? Like expending yourself a lot and then retreating back to yourself and not to God.
Well, one, I would say it's amazing that that's the way you feel every day at the end of the day because you've been pouring it out for God. I think that's amazing. I think about Jesus, right? He goes to the well, right? As tired as he was from the journey, he was exhausted.
Yeah.
And he goes to the well and there was a need that popped up. So what did he do? He met the need. Right? The disciples and Jesus try to get away from the crowd. They get in a boat. They go across the other side. Right? They're exhausted. They finally get there, and all these people are waiting there for them. And the disciples are like, send them away. We're tired. And Jesus says, no, you feed them.
Yeah.
So if you're exhausted because you've been doing kingdom work, amen, man. That's awesome. We can't ever fall into the I deserve this or I deserve that. Right? I've worked hard, right? The kingdom work is not done until we die.
Right.
That said, I think you need to be healthy and make sure you get some sleep. Make sure you eat some food, you know?
Yeah.
But, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, don't burn yourself out, but also, like, make sure you're connected to God. I think that's the main thing, I think. It says, repent, turn to God, so times of refreshing can come. And when you're going after all the stuff, God's going to refresh you, but you have to remain in the vine in order to bear fruit there. So I think you just, like, no matter what you're doing, you just stay connected to God through it all. He's going to help you out.
back to my home country, like after, like after school at some point. I don't know, but to like plan a charge there, because currently there's not a charge there. So like, I don't know if you have like any tips on like how to go about doing that. I don't know.
Yeah. Pack a suitcase.
Yeah.
So where do you want? I'm just curious. Where do you want to go?
So I was born in Antigua, which is
Antigua. Okay. Yeah. I'll go to Antigua with you.
Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
I just think I just want to say that's the attitude that we're talking about, man. I want to go back and plant a church in my hometown. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. I don't know how God is going to lead you through all that. You probably but I think that's a great, and I think that you should be asking brothers in your life that question.
Okay.
What do I need to do? I can't sit here. I wish I could just tell you, but I can't. I'll let you know if God reveals that to me. Okay? Yeah. But I think talk to the brothers in your life and tell them, this is what I want to do. Help me.
In reference to this question, I don't know if you're asking like sleep and rest, or are you asking for what you do when you feel like you do everything, but then you desire comfort? Like, when do I get to watch Netflix? When do I get to play video games? When do I get to do these things? Are these things completely obligatory? And be like, no, man, like, Jesus at the well, burn yourself out every single day. Heaven is better.
Well, I think don't burn yourself out.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these things never really matter in the long run. Like, don't worry about the Netflix and the movie. Just work for it.
Absolutely.
God. Okay, you just
straight target. Okay. Yeah, like that. I think even when you just talked about like a servant doing the master's work, like he's out working in the fields all day, and then he gets home, and then the master comes home, and he just has to go and serve the master, and then he's got no time for himself. It's not like he gets to go and relax, but it says that after that, the master will take care of the servant. And I think even it's like heaven is what we get to look forward to.
Well, and I'll tell you right now that, I mean, even doing the things I like to do, I find ways to do things I like to do. I just try to do my best to make it build something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to watch the football game by myself. I want to watch the football game with guys I'm reaching out to and other disciples who I can bring in. We can have fun together.
Right.
We can make this awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not wrong to watch a movie or something like that, but just try not to make it about self all the time, right? That's really what we're talking about. And I'm not trying to preach an extreme here, but Jesus was pretty extreme about this. He just was. He lived an extreme life in that way. You how you feel about it for a second, but I'm going to ask you another question first, okay? So you got your little headphones in, right? And you walk up to Jesus, you're like, hey, Jesus, listen to this new music I got.
Yeah.
You know, check this out, you know. Would you do that?
Not very bad.
If the answer is no, you should cut it out. It's not holy. And we can, and this is the, and I'm grateful. Thank you for being open and honest. Because this is the rationale, this is the crap that Satan feeds us. Oh, it's okay. It's just got some suggestive stuff in it. What are you feeding your soul? That's going to depend on how holy you are. Right? Don't feed yourself this stuff. If you're asking that question, the chances are you got some music you got to get rid of.
Right?
Thank you.
Right.
Never done that before, so I wouldn't even know. I've never brought it in.
I think we want to try to make the gospel attractive, but I think also, I don't know. It's kind of, it depends on what it is and how it's being used. I don't think these things are inherently evil, like we've been talking about, but it's, I think some of it, like,
if there is evil stuff involved. And I don't know. I think it's kind of a matter of opinion, whoever is kind of doing that.
Yeah. I wouldn't know how to answer that question without maybe knowing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I only, if you're asking me who would I put on stage, I'm only putting on disciples, people who I really feel confident are disciples, on a stage to lead us in worship. That's just me. So.
My question is just, sometimes, like, when I have my quiet time, I feel like I don't grab everything. And I'm supposed to, my dad is trying to tell me. And sometimes I feel like I don't have enough time to spend on my quiet time. Like, maybe I have, like, this homework due at this time, and I have, like, a 30-minute window to have a good quiet time. And it's like, I'm just asking, like, you know, how do you guys spend your quiet time? Like, and what kind of questions you ask yourselves as you you're in the Bible? Like, how do you reflect your life? You know, like, just advice on what you guys
do. I don't know. I think there's times where I do have kind of bump quiet times. Like, it's just not great. I don't try to. I think it's a reality is that you're not always going to have, like, these on fire times. We want that. I'm just reading through the book of John right now, just journaling what I'm kind of catching from it. And I kind of caught on from John 1 about how Jesus was full of, like, the Word became flesh, and he saw the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. And so as I'm going through John, I'm like, all right, what about Jesus full of grace and truth throughout the book of John? And just kind of seeing how can I be like that and apply that to my life in the ways that I'm interacting with people. But I don't know, that's just something I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But
I think that there are going to be times when things come up and our time with God ends up getting cut short. That doesn't mean it's okay, but it does happen. That should be the exception, right? We should be built to say, I don't have enough time. If you feel like you're not really being fed, you got to make more time.
Yeah.
You got to make more time. And I don't know what that means in every individual's life, but if it's really the most important food you've got to eat that day, you make time for it, you know? And I know as a college student, there's no way, there's nobody in this room who doesn't have enough time to spend with God. It's a matter of, okay, well, maybe I'm taking too many classes. Maybe I'm working too many hours. Maybe, you know, and maybe just talk to the guys in your own life and ask them to tell you, what do you think I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think in general, that should be the exception, not the rule, that we only get a little bit of time with God. That we should be marking out time with God every day. We all kind of know what we need.
Yeah.
So that would be my general advice. You know.
Yeah, I have kind of a similar question. Have you ever had personally, you know, a job or an occupation where you felt like it was so pressing and you had like a lot of work to do that it was hard for you to be holding on?
That was just a judgment.
Yeah, I have.
And
what did I do? So when I became a Christian, I used to work at I grew up on the racetrack, horse racing, which is a really holy place. And it was so hard spiritually for me. It was a career. I owned a house. I had bills to pay. I just couldn't take it anymore. I quit. Went to my boss and said, I can't work here anymore. He didn't understand why. But I'm not saying this is what you should go do. I don't even know what your situation is, but I quit. I was like, this is wrecking my spirituality. I'm going to quit. And I quit, and God provided another way. He gave me a new job that was way easier to deal with. But yeah, that was, and I went to school at night. I mean, I was working full time, going to school at night. My day was more packed. But you've got to make radical choices, I think, in those circumstances.